to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 87 on July 9th, 2014. So this is the podcast that many of you have been waiting for. This is the one where you get to ask all the personal questions of Ruby. And you know, I got a couple of them to begin with, but not very many. So I kind of hung out and encouraged you guys to send in more, and you definitely responded and sent in a whole bunch of them, which was pretty cool. So I have a lot of stuff to answer, and we're going to have fun here tonight. So let's start with the first most obvious question. I just took it and cut and pasted it right at the top of my list of all of these questions because it's the most obvious one. I am interested in how you got started and what caught your interest in the area of pegging. I've said this a couple of times in my podcast, and I do talk about it in my class, because in my classes, I talk about who I am and where I came from and how I got to be where I am and doing what I do. I have always been rather anally obsessed, mostly just kind of reading stories about it. Erotica has always been my go-to. Usually not so interested in pictures and movies, you know, those didn't, and videos and things and online stuff didn't happen until long after I became sexual, so in terms of the availability of them. So it was all erotica. And actually, the household I grew up in, we had Penthouse Forum Letters, which is, for any of you who are familiar with that publication, it's, you know, all the wild sort of letters that people write into Penthouse. Well, they have a publication that's like a smaller book instead of a big magazine that has all of the Penthouse Playboy, you know, ish type of photos and things. Just has the letters. So Penthouse Forum Letters, it's all the letters that people write in, supposedly. So that was on the coffee table from when I was about 16 on, and that's when I became sexual, was about 16. So I used to read that, and I used to flip straight to the anal section. It wasn't like I was anally obsessed, like I was always playing with my own ass. It was more like I just wanted to read about other people playing with other people's asses. So the only epiphany I can really remember, and I'm not really sure if this is the one that did it or not, but I remember a letter that was written in, and there were these women that talked about themselves as football widows, right? And meaning that their husbands watched football all the time, and they were kind of pissed off about it. So husbands came home from the bar or wherever they were, the sports bar, watching the game, and their wives were waiting for them, and they had two footballs, and they made them bend over them and hold the ball like they were the center, and they fucked them. And I think the letter went on to describe two big black guys being there and fucking them as well, and all kinds of wild things happening. But I really, up until that point in time, I don't think I really had a clue that a woman could strap one on and fuck a guy. And so that was pretty damn exciting. And whether it was that particular letter or whether it was other things, suffice to say that whenever that idea hit, which was me wearing a strap on and doing a guy, it pretty much never let go. So that's how I got interested in it, along with sort of like the anal obsession. The next question here is, how did you find out or discover pegging? So that kind of answered that question. But one of the things that I didn't know was how pleasurable it can be for the man. I had no clue at that point. I just knew that that's what I wanted to do. And initially, before I read that letter, I just remember taking great pleasure, a lot of turn on, in reading any kind of story about anal. No matter who was receiving and who was giving, I just really enjoyed reading it. So that's kind of how it all happened. Next question I have here is, what was your first reaction? Well, that's kind of an interesting question, because assuming that you are talking about discovering it as opposed to actually doing it for the first time, yeah, it totally turned me on, the idea that I could strap one on and do a guy. And that, I think, was the beginning of where I really started fantasizing a whole lot about it, that particular thing, as opposed to just general anal. That was sort of the building blocks and the foundation, I think, of a lot of my erotica that I wrote and hid away and you know, filed away in the back of the filing cabinets and things for many, many years. Okay, off to more questions here. First, what do you personally get out of pegging? Well, what do I get out of pegging? I really, really enjoy, first and foremost, what I get the most out of is how vulnerable the man is, how open he is, how receptive he is, and how much of a contrast that is to the normal way a man is when he's making love with a woman. Normally, they're in control. Normally, they're running the show. Normally, they're not real vulnerable, and they're all about doing whatever they do to the woman they're with. And pegging necessitates them laying back and receiving, opening up, getting penetrated, and being vulnerable. The sensation of the prostate makes it so that if they're going to really enjoy it and have a good time, they really have to just let go and relax and receive. That is just the most remarkable thing to watch a man do and to be a witness to and to be a party to, you know, to kind of cause that to happen. I mean, I've been with men and I've pegged men who really were unable to really let go. And it's different. What I'm talking about is the man that has been there, done that, or maybe it's even his first time and he's just a natural at it. But you see that face, you see that expression on their face that's just a total softening and a kind of sense of wonderment and surprise at how good it can feel, but also sort of a surprise and a wonderment as far as how you need to receive and open up and how vulnerable it feels and how amazing it feels. So that's the first thing I get out of it. I love the power exchange. I'm the one in control. I get to run the show. I get to run the fuck. And the bigger and more masculine and more macho the guy, the more of a turn-on it is for me, because it's a real contrast. So, and this ties into the very next question. Does the power of having a male submit to you that way turn you on? Oh, fuck yes. Absolutely it turns me on. That's one of the things that turns me on the most about it. And then the next question, do the men get hard from what you do to them? You know, that's really quite varied because any reaction to pegging is normal. And what I mean by that is some men get hard, some men have erections that come and go, and some men never get hard. And it's all good because it all feels good. So do some of them get hard? Absolutely. Do some of them have erections that come and go? Absolutely. Have I pegged men who never get hard? Absolutely. And it's all good. Every single one of them, it's all good. Let's see. What do you let your lovers do to make you come? Wow. Going straight for the personal stuff. I love these questions, you guys. Because so far, we've been talking about what I do to guys, right? And so, yeah, this person wants to know, what do I do to let my lovers... What do I do... I can't even say it. See, that's how much you shook me up. What do you let your lovers do to make you come? Okay, my very, very favorite thing is to be held in a man's arms and kissed deeply with his two middle fingers inside me and on my G-spot. That does not necessarily make me come, but the G-spot stimulation is just abso-fucking-lutely amazing. And sometimes I squirt, sometimes I don't, but it's intensely satisfying. If I want to come, I get out my Hitachi, and in that exact same scenario, I put it on my clit, and we have a lovely time. So that's pretty much how it works. Okay, moving right along to the next question. I'm wondering, in detail, if you could answer what you like about rimming, both giving and receiving. Oh, goodness. Well, let's start off with the giving. What I like about it is the best foreplay for pegging. And if any of you listening out there have never had someone stick a nice warm tongue inside your ass, oh my God, it feels so good. It's sort of like you just immediately want to just back up onto it. It is just so delightful because, you know, you don't have the firmness of a dildo or a toy or anything like that. And that's part of what feels so friendly about it. And so like you want more. And there's a limit as to what you can get because tongues are only so long and they're not real rigid. And so it, for me, and I'm not sure if this is exactly how it feels to the guys that I do it to, but it feels like that feels so good. That feels soft and warm and wet and awesome. And I want more. That's what I want, is more. And so it's this sort of instinctive reaction to back up. And when I'm doing it to a guy, I think the best thing about it is if I can make him make noises and moan and do all those lovely things. But mainly, it's about foreplay. It truly is. And you know, you can spend a long time doing that, doing rimming. You totally can. You can take your tongue and flick it around the rim. You can stick your tongue inside. You can just lick it up and down or back and forth. There's so many things that you can do. And you can stay there for quite a while. And you can do this amazing teasing thing too, where you just kind of touch it with the tip of your tongue and they moan and twitch, and then you can wait for a little bit and then touch it again. Yeah, I have fun. It's a lot of fun. I like a lot of things about rimming. Okay, let's see here. Here's the next one. Oh, it's funny because it's from a different person, but it's related. Do you like your asshole to be licked when it's sweaty or dirty? Well, I don't know. Sweaty is one thing, because sometimes when I'm pegging or having any kind of sex, I'll get down enough to where I am sweaty. I'm absolutely sweaty. It's not unusual for me to work up a sweat when I'm pegging. So if a guy wanted to rim me after that, that'd be fine. But generally, my rule is I like to be totally clean, not interested in dirty much of anything. Wanting to be like spick and span when I get in that bed, and doesn't really turn me on to do the dirty thing, especially not giving, but not receiving either. I just want to be clean. I like clean. Let's see. Next question. When pegging, do you like to really pound it? Oh, goodness. Sometimes. Certainly not all the time. I think what I like more is to really do it with a finesse, so that I can find the speed and the angle and the depth that is exactly what thrills him the most. And to experiment until I find that, and then try and keep that rhythm until ideally he comes. But occasionally, do I really like to pound it? Sure. For me, it's important that the man enjoys it. Even though I am a dominant, I describe myself as dominant, and even though I do describe myself as a sadist in terms of BDSM stuff, that has nothing to do with pegging. I do not like to cause pain of any kind when I'm pegging a man. So in terms of pounding him and really going for it, he has to love that. He has to want it. Has to be comfortable. It has to be all good. And if that's what he wants, sure, it's a lot of fun. It definitely is. I like it. Okay, here's another one. And some of these are going to be similar, but I'm going to answer them all. What was it about pegging that drove your interest and enthusiasm? Well, initially, it was just the anal obsession that drove my interest and enthusiasm. But once I started researching about it, I was absolutely and totally thrilled to find that not only was this something that women could do to men and put the strap on, but men loved it and it was pleasurable. And then learning even more, it's healthy for your prostate. So all of those things kind of drive me now. But what was it in the beginning that drove my interest and enthusiasm? Just simply an ass to be played with. That was pretty much it. Once I learned more, it was total win-win. Man, I celebrated when I found out that guys can come that way. I think one of the first stories I read about a guy coming from being fucked in the ass, I was kind of like, oh, right, get out. I mean, that's like a woman coming from being kissed. Now, okay, these things happen, right? But how unlikely is that? And it's just, I had my doubts. And then come to find out that, yes, this is indeed something that can happen. So it was pretty damn cool to find that out. Okay, how did your first pegging experience happen? All right, you guys are going to get the story here. And it's not the most fun story, but I'm going to let you in on who I am and how it happened. My very first pegging experience happened with a man who I dated for a number of months, and he had already had a fair amount of experience with it, and I had had none, but it was always something that I'd fantasized about, and I certainly had none of the equipment. He had the equipment, and he introduced me to it. Did it turn out to be as good as you were hoping? This is the next question, and the reason I'm going to read that one is because I'll tell you the rest of the story, and it definitely, this question is important too. Did it turn out to be as good as you were hoping? Fuck no. This man was not the right person to explore things with. He ended up being, letting his misogynist flag fly pretty high, and I ended up filing a restraining order against him. So it was not a good experience, really, unfortunately, because, a lot of people talk about, wow, in your fantasy, and you finally got to live it out, and Was it as hot as you hoped it would be? Well, goodness, doesn't everyone hope that they can say or wish that they can say, yeah, it was fucking awesome. It was everything I hoped it would be and then some. It was so damn exciting that I almost didn't know what to do with myself. And I like came 15 times and whatever. Yeah, that's not what happened. It certainly sparked my interest in it, and it was kind of cool to do it, but the relationship itself was fucked up and didn't last very long. Thankfully, it did not stop me from fantasizing about pegging. Well, obviously it didn't, because here I am, you know, doing the deal. But yeah, that's my first story. And you know, dude, if you're out there listening, I do hope that you have found a way to curb that violence against women and that you never hit another woman after that, because that was so fucking not okay. And for my listeners, yeah, sometimes the answers to questions are not as fun as you'd like them to be, but they're real. So there you go. That's the honest answer to that one. Okay, my next question. Who are your sex ed heroes or heroines? Wow, I have so many of them. I really do. Let's see. Charlie Glickman, who co-wrote Ultimate Guide to Prostate Pleasure. He wrote that with Aislinn Amirzian. And he has done a lot to open people's minds to male anal pleasure and prostate play and pegging. So he's one of my heroes, absolutely. And he combines so much of that with a lot of knowledge about emotional underpinnings of all that. So he rocks. Let's see. Sex Nerd Sandra is amazing. She does so much for so many, and she is really quite remarkable in the manner in which she is willing to do like self-disclosure and talk about anything and have all kinds of different people on her show. She's really amazing. And I'm so glad that one time I was on her show and she interviewed me, because Sex Nerd Sandra rocks. She totally rocks. She is such a great resource for so many people. And let's see. Dee Dennis would have to be one of my heroines, because Dee Dennis is the force behind Catalyst Con. You guys have heard me talk about these conferences. Well, they wouldn't exist if not for Dee Dennis. She's got these conferences running, the Bicoastal Catalyst Con East and West. And it is such a remarkable conference that I can't begin to tell you. You know, I've talked a lot about it every time I go. I do podcasts about it. If you're nearby, any of you are nearby Catalyst Con in DC or Catalyst Con in Los Angeles, I highly recommend going, because there is so much to be learned there. It's such a high-class, educational, accepting, open-minded, and stimulating and amazing combination of people that it's just really something not to miss. So Dee Dennis, yeah, you are right up there. Let's see. One of my personal favorites is Strap-On Joe. Strap-On Joe has been in the past and still continues to be a little bit more of a sex worker than a sex educator. But goodness sakes, that woman knows so much about pegging. And I am hoping to work with her on a project in the future. And she showed up at Catalyst Con East, and it was so nice to cross paths with her. She is so knowledgeable about physiology, about men, about the emotional underpinnings, about the pegging, about the prostate, you name it. So she's one of my heroes just because of her focus, definitely. And there are really just so many others. Okay, Hernando Chavez is one of them, out of LA, a counselor and sex educator and teacher. There is Ashley Manta. There is Victoria Ruveni. There is Kate Lurie. She's an amazing, total kink knowledgeable, alternative relationship knowledgeable counselor based in the LA area. She's amazing. There's Lady Cheeky, who has one of the most amazing tumblers with beautiful, beautiful photographs. And she has really jumped right into the all bodies are good and, you know, big, beautiful sex territory. And she's doing some extraordinary work with that and trying to get people to realize that, you know, all bodies are fine, all bodies are good, and for us to let go of all the bullshit around that. Here's another one for the trans world is Buck Angel. Oh my God, he rocks and he's fucking hot. Oh my gosh. And you know, I could just keep going, but let me also mention, it's not a person, it's a publishing house, Kleist Press. Kleist Press, thank God for them. They publish all the wild, kinky, weird shit that we write. And it's just so awesome to have somebody out there who embraces the different, the kinky, the horny, the lustful, the erotic. Yeah, thank you, Kleist Press. You guys rock. And like I say, I could keep going. You know, this is my people. This is my community. And there are many, many, many people. Those are ones, the ones that I mentioned are people that I've either met personally or know of, like, well, actually, I met them all personally. So, you know, there's so many others that are just icons in the whole sex ed world. But, you know, these people are ones that I mentioned that I know. So, yeah. Okay. I'm going to stop there. All right. Let's see here. What's the next question? How many men have you pegged? None of your fucking business. That's the one answer that you are not going to get. No, not going to do that one. I know that you're probably curious, but that's my life, you know, and that's my number. And my number is not going to get shared. Okay. What positions do you favor while pegging? Well, I kind of like doggy style, but you know what? What I like the best and what actually figures in the most in like my fantasies that turn me on is to have a guy laying down flat on his stomach with a couple of pillows under his hips and me laying on top of him and fucking him. That is actually one of my favorite positions. It's not as... I don't get to see his face, which is the only thing I really miss, but it's so comfortable, it's so intimate, and it's so amazing. There's just something about it that I love. I'm not sure if the from behind thing is like a power thing. I think kind of it is. I don't often get to do doggy style very successfully because I'm extraordinarily long from my hip to my knee. I have really long legs. I have a 36-inch inseam. So trying to match that up with a guy's height in terms of that leg length on him, and then his legs are apart because I'm fucking him. And a lot of times it's just he's a little bit too low for me. I do definitely enjoy standing up on the edge of the bed and having him on his knees at the edge of the bed. That if that height works, then that's awesome. I would have to say that one of my favorites is the one that I nicknamed the chairman, where I'm sitting on a sturdy armless chair, got my strap on, and the man is straddling me and facing me. Okay. So all he has to do really is slide back and forth and fuck himself. And that is, I love that position because I can kiss, I can play with his cock, and we can just have such a lovely time, and it's virtually effortless for me. And he gets to, you know, control what he does and how deep and how fast and all of those things. So yeah, we can do that for long, long, long periods of time. And I actually, you didn't ask this, but I actually love that position in reverse too. I love doing the exact same thing and riding a guy on a chair. It's really fun. There's a rhythm that you can get that's just extraordinary in that position. I love it. Okay, what other positions do you favor while pegging? I think that's the one I like the most. A missionary, you know, I would love to love missionary, but it's very difficult for me without having some really nice cushions for the guy to be up in, because again, the length of my legs is so long that it's just really hard to get in there and do that right. I suspect that part of that is that I just haven't done enough of the missionary to where I've gotten really good at it, and my body just doesn't really know how to bend that way and push in that direction and that kind of thing, because I'm still working on it. But definitely need the pillows, no question about that. And the rare times that I can actually find a man with similar length legs so he can stand up against a wall and I can fuck him against the wall, yeah, love that one too, absolutely. Okay, generally, how do you find pegging partners? Well, they kind of find me. I do have a profile on OkCupid. And I do have a profile on FetLife. And those are the two places that I like to encounter new men that are completely unknown to me the most, mostly because that's what the profile's for, so I can find out about them. I'm not real fond of someone approaching me on Facebook or Reddit because I don't know a damn thing about them. I haven't seen a picture. Words on a screen don't impress me, especially because a lot of times the guys who approach me on Facebook or Reddit are thinking with their little head and they're wanting me to fuck them right off the bat. And so I just kind of tell them to fuck off. So generally, how do I find pegging partners? You know, most of the time it's on those two websites. It's on OkCupid or it's on FetLife. Occasionally in my own community, I may meet someone once in a while. But mostly it's on the websites, definitely. Okay, and then a follow-up question. Do you always prefer younger men as pegging partners? Always? No. It depends on what I'm looking for. If it's just a pegging partner, then I do really enjoy the young men. If it's a potential long-term relationship pegging partner, because any long-term relationship that I'm going to have has to involve pegging, then no, younger men are not necessary at all. If I'm looking for just fun and a physical relationship, I do really like young men. And the follow-up question here, I think in anticipation that I was going to say, yes, I always prefer younger men as pegging partners. Why do you think that is? I'm just going to change that into the question, what do I like about young men? Because I don't always prefer them by any means. I enjoy the energy of young men, the recuperative ability. Once they come once, they can usually come two or three times in a night. I like their beautiful, smooth bodies. I like their eagerness. I like the newness and the innocence of that they haven't tried what I'm showing them, because a lot of times it's not just the pegging, it's dominance, maybe it's impact play as well with BDSM. And I enjoy showing them the ropes, basically. But mostly they're just really pretty. And then, you know, that's what I enjoy about them. What are they lacking? Well, you know, conversationally, I can't say that any young man I've ever been with has really gotten past about a 6 in terms of communication on a communication scale of 1 to 10, because they just haven't had enough life experience. But for me, it's a perfect fun thing for the friends with benefits or a no strings attached relationship and just for physical, because the young men I'm never going to fall in love with because they're way too young. They have their lives ahead of them. They're going to get married and have kids. And I am so done with all that. So done with all that. So yeah, that's my story about the young men. Let's see. Have there been any of your partners who reacted badly or strangely to being pegged? Yeah, let's see. There was one guy I pegged who had never had it done before. He was older. And he had that reaction when you very first put something in your ass, because I don't think he really ever even played with his own ass. He was doing this because I wanted him to. And he had that urge to have a bowel movement, you know, because that's what it feels like. You put something in your ear like, oh, wait, I have to go to the bathroom. Because that's what your body tells you. So he had that reaction. I can't say it was strange, but it did sort of cut short the fun, because it felt uncomfortable enough to him to where he didn't want to continue it. Let's see, badly or strangely. Let me see if I can think of any others. You know, that's really the only one that I can think of. All men react differently, and there were different levels of enjoyment and excitement, but strangely or badly, yeah, it's really the only one I can think of. Okay, let's see here. How has pegging equipment, dildos and harnesses, etc., changed and improved since you first started pegging? Well, I've only been pegging about 6 years, okay? So perhaps less years than you thought, but it's been about 6 years. One of the things that's changed is they've come up with a number of really nice brief harnesses. And what I mean by that is sort of like underwear briefs. Some of them are quite feminine. Some of them are kind of like male boxers, if you will. And those harnesses are pretty cool because they're just as comfortable as like a pair of tight-fitting underwear. They hold the dildo fairly well. So that's a kind of a new advancement. And since I started, I honestly don't know when the Tango came out, but I think that's a marvelous example of taking the best parts of what was out there in a double-ended dildo and making a new one. And let's see, what else? They've made some advancements on making sure that the base of the dildo is, when it's a flare-based single, is thick enough to provide a little bit of cushioning. They're working better on having harnesses that actually fit low enough in the crotch of the woman to where it is actually up against your clit as opposed to right on your pubic bone. Yeah, it's really no fun to fuck a guy and have a bruised pubic bone afterwards. And what else has changed? Let's see. Well, there is just a plethora of dildos now. And so that's, I think, one of the things that's really amazed me is there's so many choices. There's ones with curved ends. There's ones with straight ends. There's ones that look like real cocks. There's ones that have matte finishes so that it causes more sensation going in and out. There's ones that have the slick finishes. You know, there's so many things. There's ones that have ridges, and then there's just smooth tubes, and then there's the dual density ones. And I think that they've really made some progress on a lot of these. They may have come into play before I started pegging, but maybe not that many years. And I'm really impressed with how they keep coming up with new ones. They're trying to cater to the needs of everybody. And the honest truth is that everybody's different. There are men out there that I just had a request the other day. You know, I want an 8-inch long dildo because deep is good. Deep is what gets me off. But really 2 inches is too wide for me. And I can't find anything 8 inches long that's less than 2 inches wide. And, you know, there's manufacturers out there doing stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. One of the most important things that I think has happened since I came onto the scene is the awareness and public education about toxic equipment, toxic sex toys. So even though I run across people who buy shit equipment in terms of bad dildos that are toxic and have the phthalates or they're porous and you can't sterilize them, I do run across people like that all the time. Still, I would have to say that more and more people are becoming educated about toxic sex toys. And I'm doing my best to spread the word, and I would love to have a little help. So if any of you have a blog out there and you want to post a link to my Toxic Sex Toys article, I will have that in my Linkorama on my blog. Just to tell your friends, you know, if you have any friends that you talk to on the level of occasionally mentioning sex toys, let them know. Did you know there's a whole bunch of sex toys out there that are totally toxic and you should never be using them, much less put them in your body? The more that we spread the word about that, the more there's going to be a demand for the safe, body-safe, non-toxic sex toys. Like the company that I offer toys from, pretty much everything I talk about is available through enticeme.com. And I'm going to have that in the Linkorama too. But every time you click into my website on the right-hand side now, there will be a link and it says enticeme.com and it says Ruby's Choice for sex toys. And there's, you know, the code for 20% off and all that. But yeah, that ties right into the body safe and non-toxic, because that's a huge movement that's happening in the sex toy world. There are still manufacturers and people selling sex toys that are selling the horrible stuff. I'm going to talk a little bit about that at the end of this podcast when I answer the rest of the questions, because I have a little bit more news along those lines. But let's move on to the next question here. Okay, have there been any companies that have sought you out as a consultant for pegging gear? You know, they haven't. I have spoken with a number of manufacturers and tried to give them feedback, not necessarily about their product in terms of how it needs to be different. More, I've talked to manufacturers and talked to them about their product and how it needs to be marketed differently. And specifically, and you know, my long-term listeners and readers will know this, it's the so-called harnessless dildos, which is fucking bullshit. And that's the reaction you're always going to get out of me. It's fucking bullshit. They're not harnessless. Maybe 5% of people, women, can hold those double-ended dildos in. So it just irks the fuck out of me that they advertise it that way, because then what happens is not only do I get the blowback and the people, you know, write me and say, hey, this happened and I can't hold it in, and I guess my girlfriend or my wife's, you know, Kegel muscles aren't, you know, strong enough. You know, that's an annoyance, okay? But what I'm actually more concerned about is that here is a potential pegging couple And she may have sort of been on the line about it. Who knows what her enthusiasm level was or wasn't, right? And it could be that that's all she needed to just go, you know what? No, I don't even like this. This was no fun for me. It was too hard. It was weird. No, forget it. I'm not doing this. And I would hate for that to happen just because someone is marketing it in a way that is inaccurate. It's a total disservice to their customers. It totally is. So yeah. Okay, let's see what else. But I am hoping to work with a company in the future and have a Ruby Rider Bend Over Beginner Kit because, I mean, hey, is that like a no-brainer or what? But, you know, we'll see what company it is. You know, that'll happen in the future at some point in time. Alrighty, what has been your best or most satisfying or exciting hip pegging experience thus far? Wow. Man, that's a tough one. I can't choose just one. And again, for my long-term listeners and readers, the first guy I'm going to mention is the guy I used to call Mr. Great Kisser. And he moaned and made noises so beautifully. And he accepted being fucked and loved being fucked so much that it was really, really exciting to fuck him. Because he just loved it and wanted it badly and enjoyed it and made lots of noise. So he was hot and young and fun and really, really sweet. So he's the first person I think of. The second person I think of, and this is like a little time frame here. This is the order in which these happen. The second person I think of would actually be Zach. The reason it was so amazing to do pegging with him was because of the emotional connection, because of the intensity of the desire that we had for each other when we finally got together, because he's really big and tall and muscular, and that contrast was fucking hot. You know, I mentioned before how that's one of my favorite things. So all of those were present, and yeah, that was really intense, but I think probably the emotional factor with that particular encounter was off the charts. It totally was. So that figures highly in one of my favorites, indeed. And the last one, oh, I kind of hinted about this, but let me tell you the whole story in the podcast here, because why not? You asked the question. I mentioned how I went to DomCon. I mentioned how there was a man in my class who came in who was wearing assless chaps. Yes, indeed. He was probably one of the most beautiful men I have ever met. Definitely could do modeling, has done modeling. Had the wide shoulders and the tiny waist and the beautiful skin, and oh my God. So, yeah, to recap, he came into my pegging class, my beginner's pegging class. He had on leather assless chaps, a black men's thong underwear, and some platform boots with buckles up the side. And that was it. No shirt, you know, nothing else on, beautiful ass hanging out. And I was trying very hard to concentrate on my class. And I did, but I got to the point where it was time to demonstrate the positions. Usually what I do is, because people want to know about positions in my class, I don't just talk about them because people's minds go fuzzy. So I demonstrate them and I get a volunteer from the audience. And that's always kind of fun. People tend to remember that more when you're rolling around the floor with someone than if you just say a bunch of words and try and describe what it is that you're talking about. And usually there is an eager volunteer, so that's not a problem. I just turned and looked directly at this young man and said, so I'm going to need a volunteer from the audience to come up here and help me demonstrate the positions. It was so obvious that I wanted him to do it. So he gets up out of his chair and he walks up between in the middle aisle between the rows of chairs, and there's lots of murmuring because he's gorgeous and his ass is hanging out because he's got thong underwear on, because at DomCon these things can happen in a hotel. It still blows my mind. You know, I did the chairman position and he's sitting on my lap and there's this beautiful chest in front of me and I have my hand on it and I'm leaning to the side and I'm talking to the audience and talking to them about intimacy and what you can reach and what you can't, and I'm enjoying the hell out of it. And then he was laying face down on the ground, and I was kind of straddling him just beneath his ass. and, you know, totally trying to be professional about this. And I was talking about laying down on top of him and how some men love that position because breasts against their back, you know, the feeling of having the weight of a woman on top of you is really a turn on for some guys. A lot of men really enjoy that position, and it requires very little hip movement to really get things going. And again, you know, back to the positions, when someone asked me what's my favorite position, that would be one of them. So I'm talking about this, but I'm not doing it, right? And one of the women in the audience, she says, "You can go ahead and lay down on him if you want." And so I kind of look to the side and catch his eye, and he shakes his head, "Sure, you know, go ahead and do that." So I lay down on top of him, and I show how just a very small movement of my hips, you know, would be sufficient to peg him quite nicely. And, you know, that was pretty much that. And I was into the class before too much longer after that, did the positions, answered some questions and things. One of my friends who was in the class said that, yeah, he absolutely had a hard on when he got up after that. I wasn't really staring at that, so, but that was kind of fun to know. I found him in the vendor hall afterwards. I told him how he was absolutely, without a doubt, the most beautiful model I had ever had the pleasure to demonstrate positions with, and I paused not a moment and asked him out for a drink. And he had one more class to go to at DomCon, and then he said he'd be happy to. The short story is, we totally hit it off and had a really, really nice time on Saturday night. We were up until 4:30 in the morning. Why was he particularly really enjoyable? Part of it was how beautiful he was. He was extraordinarily gorgeous, but none of that would have mattered if he hadn't been so beautiful on the inside. He was a remarkably sweet and kind of, interestingly enough, shy young man. And he was so grateful that I had approached him because he was looking for something like that, but he was too shy ever to have asked for it. And when I talked to him about it, I said, "You came into my class and you just were freaking advertising yourself. Oh my God." And he said, "Well, yeah, you know, I figured that that was a better way to do it than walking up and saying, 'Will you fuck me?'" So are there advantages to being a teacher? Yes, there are. There absolutely are. He made lots of noise, too. He was really, really fun and sweet. He loved kissing. We had a marvelous time. Totally made my trip down to DomCon. So that was the latest, most exciting time I have ever had. And we'll just leave it there. Okay, let's see. Next question. Oh, what was your worst and most disappointing pegging experience? Well, you know, I'm going to have to go to that first one, unfortunately, but without a doubt, with, you know, no hesitation whatsoever, that was really not good. It wasn't that it wasn't good in the moment. It was that there was a part of me that knew that this guy wasn't safe enough to really let myself go and relax and trust and have a good time, which is what sex is all about. So yeah, it was fucked up. Okay, moving right along. Let's not go back to that part. Is there anything yet that you haven't done or experienced in the realm of pegging but want to? Okay, you guys are going to laugh, but I took a little break there and I went and I opened up a document that I have on my desktop. And you know what it's called? It's called Want To. I swear to God, you guys. I swear to God. And I scanned through it to see how many of these 8 things that I have on this list have anything to do with pegging. Because, you know, I love pegging. It's awesome. I teach about it. I do it. I'm passionate about it. But that's not all I do with sex. I do all kinds of other things with sex, too. So as I looked through these things, I tried to see how many of them have anything to do with pegging. And there's 2. One says he is in a sex sling and I fuck him missionary style. This is not to be confused with a sex swing, because there's some awesome swings that are fastened to the ceiling. Those are awesome for pegging. But a sling, this is a really cool thing that is kind of like a harness thing. It's made out of either Velcro straps or leather straps, but it can be like behind your neck. And basically what happens is it's got these Velcro or leather cuffs, straps that go around your ankles and or your thighs, and it holds your legs up so that you can lay there rather, if you're receiving the pegging, you can lay there rather effortlessly with your legs in the air instead of having to hold them up. So definitely want to try out one of those. And the other thing that has anything to do with pegging on this list, there's only one other, is fuck a man who is fucking another man. Oh, yeah, that's a big one. That's absolutely a big one in my world. So yeah, those are two that I have not done yet. And I'm sure as life goes on, I will add more things to this list. Maybe having to do with pegging, maybe not. And I'm not going to read you the rest of the list because you didn't ask about that. Because I'm a fucking tease. Okay, here we go. Have you done pegging with multiple partners in the same room or bed? No, I have not. If not, do you think pegging could work within the context of a group scene? Oh, well, goodness. You know, pegging can work within the context of any scene. Well, I don't know about any scene, but with a group scene, sure. Is it my thing? No, it's not. I really like the intimate interplay between two people, and I'm not saying that I would never open that up to three people, because I just talked about wanting to fuck a man who's fucking another man. But in terms of like a group scene of a whole bunch of people, like a big pegging party, shit like that that people talk about, stuff like that that people talk about, let my preferences not color how I speak about it. That's just not my thing. I really love the intimacy. I've never been really much of an exhibitionist in terms of pegging a guy. The only extent to which I am an exhibitionist is if I go to a BDSM play party, I will string a man up, preferably a beautiful young man, use a crop and flogger on him for the enjoyment of the people at the party and for my enjoyment too. But then I go home with him and then fuck him. I don't do it at the party. It's just not my thing. But more power to you people who enjoy it. Go for it. Okay, next question. Ideally, how would you like to see pegging progress in the future? Well, I think the basics would be that I would like to see it become much more acknowledged as an alternative way of making love. And I would like to see it lose its taboo connection or connotation. More than losing the taboo connotation, though, I would really, really like to see it lose its gay connotation. That's so fucked up. I would like to see that just fall by the wayside. And I would like more and more men discover the pleasure that's to be had with their prostates and their asses, because that's what's going to pave the way for more pegging, is when more men start to, the combination of more men start to enjoy it, they become aware of it, and they check it out, and they enjoy anal play, and the lessening of the whole taboo gay thing, I think, is the magic formula. So if I had to distill it down to something, yeah, that would pretty much be it. And then the next one, what can we do to help promote pegging without perpetuating stereotypes? You know, that's a delicate question, because this is an activity that many people are really loath to disclose that they take great enjoyment in to anybody, you know, other than their partner. It's not something you talk about at the table when you've invited your friends over for dinner, unless you have an incredibly extraordinary group of friends. In my house, that happens. But, you know, my house is pretty different. And, you know, when I go and meet all my sex educator friends, that's, you know, we talk about stuff like that. That's no big deal. But I don't think that I have any expectations of people to disclose unless they're comfortable with that. You know, I'm going to read something to you. I'm going to read two things to you. I may have read this one piece on my podcast before, but it bears repeating and it's not that long. And then I'm going to read a man's reply to it, because this is all about the taboo thing. And it's kind of like my love letter to all of the men that love anal play and have decided to explore it, whether it's just anal or pegging as well. So here we go. The name of the piece is To All the Awesome Ass Men. Dear Ass Men, anal can be awesome, as you well know, or are perhaps just discovering. Sexual orientation has nothing to do with what part of the body you enjoy having stimulated. You are the only one who gets to decide who you are attracted to, whether it's men or women or both or neither. If anyone tries to assign you a sexual orientation based on what part of the body you enjoy having stimulated, laugh in their face at the ridiculousness of that assumption. Laugh at the temerity of anyone who thinks they know you better than you know yourself. And especially laugh at the exceptional ignorance of anyone who would actually use sexual orientation as a slur. Then, go on about your sexy business exploring your asses, fucking, pegging, rimming, plugging, or whatever you most love, because you are the brave ones, dear hearts. You are the ones taking a deep breath and indulging in a first-class tour of your own bodies to discover all the pleasure you can handle. Not an adventure for the faint-hearted, and don't you know it. There are few things more soul-touching and vulnerable and open and intense and even scary than welcoming someone into your ass. I celebrate your courage amidst the ignorance, your openness amidst the fear, and your willingness to be intrepid explorers of your own sexuality. Well done. Love, Ruby Ryder. So I posted that a while ago on my blog. I don't know, I think it's over a year ago, but recently I came across it, someone commented on it, and I realized that it just kind of needed to be dug up and shared again, so I put it on Reddit. There's a couple of different groups on Reddit. One is the pegging group, and one is Pegging Unkinked, for the people who prefer their pegging non-BDSM. So I posted it there, and I got a response from this man. He says, "Oh my God, thank you, sincerely. As a man that's been into anal play for more than 5 years, as a man that is confident in his sexuality, as a man that knows he's attracted to women no matter what people might say or think about what he does in the privacy of his own home, as a man that knows it is a fine and normal thing to enjoy, and as a man that's opened up to a past partner of his and had her call him a fag, and air his dirty laundry to the world. As a man that took a huge risk and owned it, and instead of hiding from it or denying it, he found out that the vast majority of people couldn't care less, or came to him with questions about it and anal play in general, because they themselves had been interested in it, but were themselves too scared to ask or learn about it because of whatever reason they had. Thank you, and thank you to all of the women that aren't afraid to explore their own bodies and their own sexuality and experiment and try new things and not judge their men based on whatever society's taboos say they should think, but instead do it because they love their men and they are loved by them and have developed a relationship and a trust with another person that allows them to open up to each other. Seriously, thank you, all of you." Oh my gosh. So that is really the ultimate thing that you could do, would be to own it. But I don't expect everyone to do that. I wanted to read this man's response because I wanted people to know that it's not like, you know, people in your world find out and you're done for, and your life's over, and it's all fucked up, and you can never go back to where you were before, and it's all negative. In fact, many times, like this man said, it's not at all that way. Now, I very much realize that there's a lot of professions out there to where it is not a good thing. In fact, there are many professions where it's a horrible thing, and you might even lose your job if people find out about this sort of thing. So please be careful about all this. But in my ideal world, people can help promote pegging by owning it, by talking about how much they love it to the people close to them, to their friends. I've talked about this one particular guy who wrote me several times, but it bears repeating. He wrote me and said that he and his girlfriend had told a few of their close friends that they enjoyed this, but really not their whole circle of friends, until the day that they went to a wedding reception and his girlfriend drank just a little too much, and she waxed poetic at a table with all of their friends surrounding the table about how much he liked pegging. And there was some, you know, laughter and embarrassed sort of giggling and things. But what he said at the end of this message, he said, "You know, what happened, though, was without fail, every single man who was around that table came to him individually, independently, and asked him about it. And wanted to talk with him about it." So I think that there's great possibilities there. But I also think that you have to choose your path. If you're in a situation and you feel comfortable enough to be able to disclose like that, do it. Own it. talk about it, make it normal, you know? And anybody that can do that, you know, has my gratitude. But don't feel pressured to do it because, you know, sometimes society's pretty fucked up. You have to make your choices, then you have to not endanger your world and, you know, your stability and things like that. So that's the best way I can answer that question. Okay, next question. Are you married? Ha, hell no. Been married twice, divorced twice. There you go. How long have you been into strap-on sex for? That first experience was the bad one, was about, well, let's see, at this point it was about 20 years ago. And I actually didn't get a chance to try it again. And it wasn't just one experience. I think we did it about, I don't know, 5 or 6 times. But I didn't get a chance to do it again until 6 years ago. Yes, 6 or maybe 7, somewhere right in there. So I've been kind of doing it much more regularly and, you know, sort of diving into the whole experience for the last 6, 7 years. Let's see. How did I first get into it? Yeah, I already answered that one. How long did it take you to work up the endurance and tone the muscles required to be a pegger? That's a really good question. You know, it's not like I had a consistent partner. I had periods of time where I had a consistent partner, but really, even those times when I had a consistent partner, it wasn't a partner who I lived with. It was a partner I saw once a week or sometimes once every other week. So take that into consideration. But I have felt, you know, if I had to put a timeline on it, sort of like a marker of time when I felt like I'd really sort of arrived more so and had the endurance and the strength that it takes to do pegging, I would say probably the last, 2 years. Now, I don't say this to discourage anybody and make them think it's going to take 5 years to get the endurance. That's sort of when I felt like it all gelled together. It wasn't just the strength and endurance. It was the know-how. It was knowing how to move. It was knowing what different things to try. It was just kind of getting the whole concept and having it gel and knowing how to fuck somebody. So, yeah, that's the best answer I have to that one. Let's see what else here. How often do you get to peg a partner? Not fucking often enough. I'm pretty picky. And I don't share my body lightly. So it's actually unusual for me to do something like I did at DomCon and meet someone and then have a great time with them the next night. That's not my style usually. So yeah, not often enough. I'm just going to leave that question right there. Do you find you have to retrain your muscles for each pegging session? No, not particularly. If I've been working out a lot, it helps me have more endurance, but that's kind of like not as discernible as you might think. It's not like this whole brand new start over again. You know, once you got it, you kind of got it. And I have sort of a core muscle strength that never really leaves because I don't work out constantly, but I'm active enough to where I have that basic foundation. So, wow, okay, we have reached the end of the questions. Thank you guys so much for sending all these in. Oh my gosh, it's an hour. I have to do this last part really fast because more than an hour and it won't go on to WordPress all on one podcast. So the last thing I have to say to you, which I mentioned I was going to talk about, was toxic toys and stuff. In a previous podcast, I have mentioned how Adam and Eve approached me, and they are a huge company that sells all kinds of toys, and they sell all kinds of crappy toys. In fact, most of the toys they sell are crappy toys. And by that, I mean that they're toxic, they're poor quality, and they don't tell their customers that they are toxic. They don't warn them at all. So the very first time they approached me, I think it was about maybe 6 months ago, 9 months maybe. I forgot to check the exact date. And they sent me an email and said they wanted to work with me and, collaboration, I think was the word they used, which cracked me up because basically they want to advertise on my website, right? And I said, no, that I absolutely refuse to work with someone who sells toxic toys to people, especially someone who does not warn people that those toys are toxic when they sell them to them. So no, thank you. And she wrote back, and Katie Shaw, and said, you know, I understand. If you ever change your mind, let us know. And I'm sure Katie just works for Adam and Eve. She does the marketing. She's one of the people that does the marketing. So she wrote me again. And, with the exact same email, like I'd never seen it before. And I said, still not interested. You guys are still selling toxic toys. And really, the only point in telling you all this is because they're not one of the good guys, okay? They're right up there with, like, Doc Johnson and people like that. Doc Johnson's maybe a little bit better because they're actually starting to make some good silicone toys. But they're a company without integrity in terms of selling the bullshit stuff. So I wouldn't trust, really, their 100% silicone toys because they sell the nasty stuff too. And it's really a small matter to substitute things into the silicone and have it barely discernible, barely detectable. You want a company you can totally, totally trust. Adam and Eve is not it. Doc Johnson's not it. Pipe Dreams is not it, okay? There's other ones. Let's leave it at that. But I just wanted to let you guys know that because I don't even want to know how much money they wanted to pay me to put an ad on my website, but I will never do that. I will never do that. I promise to only offer you, talk about, recommend, in terms of talk about in a positive way, body safe, non-toxic toys. That is what the link on the side of my blog is all about. And the company that I work with, enticeme.com, is your source for the highest quality non-toxic body safe toys. You can trust us to offer you only the best sex toys available on the market today. You'll find pegging equipment, but you'll also find a wide variety of excellent toys, condoms, and lubes. What you won't find are the toxic toys offered by other retailers, because we care about our customers, and we will never sell you anything but the best. Plus, when you shop at enticeme.com, you support my work in bringing the word about pegging to the world. You can use the coupon code RUBY and get 20% off your order, and any order over $100 ships for free. Okay, that brings this podcast to a close. You can leave your questions at 805-500-6544. You can follow me on Twitter at @Ruby_writer. I have a Facebook page. Subscribe to my blog. It's got sexy pictures and things that never show up in my podcast. The podcast is available on iTunes. And if you want to go there and rate my podcast and write me some cool reviews, it would be awesome. My erotic stories are now available on Amazon Kindle store for purchase individually. And you can either call with your questions and stories, or you can send them to Ruby at peggingparadise.com. And I just had my birthday, okay, you guys? And I really appreciate, I got some birthday messages. I got a couple of songs. You guys were kind of burning up my call line, which was totally awesome. Thank you so much. My birthday was June 29th, and thank you. I asked for feeling the love. That's what I asked for. And you guys totally came through, and I will talk about that more on my next podcast. But suffice to say, thank you all very much. I feel loved. I'm feeling love, you guys. Thanks a lot. So, and also, of course, thanks for downloading and listening, and happy pegging, everyone.